ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 18 डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम धर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 22। अन्विक्षेतात्मनो बंधम मोक्षम च ज्ञाननिष्ठया बंध इंद्रिय विक्षेपो मोक्ष एषा च संयमः। अन्विक्षेतात्मनो बंधम मोक्षम च ज्ञाननिष्ठया बंध इंद्रिय विक्षेपो मोक्षेषां च संशयः। अन्विक्षेतात्मनो बंधम मोक्षम च ज्ञाननिष्ठया बंध इंद्रिय विक्षेपो मोक्षेषां च संशयः। अन्विक्षेतात्मनो बंधम मोक्षम च ज्ञाननिष्ठया बंध इंद्रिय विक्षेपो मोक्ष एषां च संयमः। अन्वेक्षेतात्मनो बंधम मोक्षं च ज्ञाननिष्ठया बन्धनिक्षेपो मोक्ष एषां च संयमः। Matajis. Bandham moksham cha jnana nishthaya bandha indriya vikshepo mokshe cham cha samyamaha anvikshetha. One should see by careful study आत्मनः ऑफ द सोल बंधम द बॉन्डेज मोक्षम द लिबरेशन च ऑल्सो ज्ञान इन नॉलेज निष्ठया बाय स्टेडीनेस बंधः बॉन्डेज इंद्रिय ऑफ द सेंसेस विक्षेप deviation to sense gratification, mokshaha, liberation, esham, of the senses, cha, and samyamaha, complete control. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. By steady knowledge, a sage should clearly ascertain the nature of the soul's bondage and liberation. Bondage occurs when the senses are deviated to sense gratification. And complete control of the senses constitutes liberation. The purport. By carefully understanding one's eternal nature, one will not again be bound up in the shackles of material energy. And by constant engagement in the service of the Absolute Truth, one is liberated. Then the flickering material senses can no longer drag one into the false consciousness of being a material enjoyer. Such steady sense control gives one relief from the harassment of the material sense gratification. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Damne Gaurat Vishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayati Yagrim Yadkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramanandamadhavam. Hare Krishna. So on this auspicious day of so many beautiful auspicious tithis coming together, Hanuman Jayanti, Krishna Rasayatra, Balaramji's Rasayatra, Shri Shamanan Pandit's appearance day, Shri Vamshivadan Thakur's appearance day. So, I'm a total misfit sitting on the altar on this beautiful asan to speak. So, I would request all the Vaishnavas to bless so I can speak something sensible. Especially I will take blessings from senior devotees or Prabhupada disciples. Mataji, please forgive if I say something beyond my, because this, the topic spoken here is absolutely what I'm very much struggling for, so I would like to beg blessings from Vaishnavas. A very beautiful analysis about how will jnana lead us to liberation. A saintly personality, having taken sannyas, by acquiring knowledge about what leads to bondage and what leads to liberation, he not only helps himself but is able to clearly see the world, at the same time help others. It is not just enough for one to have a good saintly nature. By acquiring proper knowledge of analysis and applying that knowledge in his own life, one is able to analytically help oneself and others also. A very beautiful word in the verse which mentions anvikshet, that is a proper careful study, which means how a sadhaka till the level of sadhu the study is something which he'll have to do always. Not only study the scriptures, acquiring knowledge through the nature, acquiring knowledge through the environment, acquiring knowledge through other sadhus. Always keeping the three tests of sadhu, shastra and guru together, so that every moment, because as we live in this life, every moment is crossroad. To do or not to do is the question. So that time, knowledge is the one which helps us. And when we are used to studying, that knowledge becomes our second nature and leads into the Lord's mercy, which gives us maturity, by which we can decide what to do, what not to do. So for a sadhaka, not only studying, but after that, analyzing and following in his own life is very important. Just because we know language, we can study many books. But until unless we take that knowledge and apply it in our own life, it will become very difficult for us to live up to what Guru expects from us and what Krishna expects from us. Krishna speaks us through many things. Just because of our many years in devotional service, it is very rare and seldom that Krishna will directly speak to us. If you are very fortunate, if somebody might get a dream of Krishna speaking to him and giving him instruction, Krishna many times speaks through his sadhus, speaks through Guru, and speaks definitely through Shastras. So that's why one has to apply that jnana into his own life and transform that jnana into vijnana. And when that vijnana is available, it not only benefits you, but it benefits everybody around. You know, I remember once, whenever something new thing was taught to us, so we were always told that you at least discuss this with 25 other people. You know, a new word you learn, anything new you learn, you discuss with others and tell others, because telling others fortifies you. So after I saw the verse, I said, discussing about this with others is really going to help me, because this is the initial struggle which every sadhaka is going through. Just as in Marathi we say, kaltai pan varat nahi. You understand what is wrong, but you are not able to fathom strength to do what is right. And that strength will only come when the mercy of acharyas will dawn upon us, when we humble ourselves in front of the Vaishnavas and discuss and ask for solutions openly. Going further, the whole verse today is very interestingly speaking about that one should have knowledge of what is bondage, what leads to bondage, and the purport, it is elaborated that once one is fixed in one's eternal position, Jeeva Krishna Das E Vishwas Korle To Ar Dukhanai. Once the living entity is convinced that he is what? A part and parcel of Krishna, then many of the problems will be solved. So the Shastra is not only for repeating, but Shastra is for mainly reminding us, again and again reminding us what our position is. Who are we? Because after the 6 hours of slumber, when we get up, many things are forgotten. Many past things are remembered. So again fix our identity. When we remember who we are and fix our identity, it is said in the purport that the material enjoyment propensity comes from wanting to be a material enjoyer. When we understand that this world is not meant for your enjoyment, idam krishnaya idam na mama, it's very pleasurable to chant that mantra, because every time you're reiterating, not for me, it is for Krishna. I am not the enjoyer, but Krishna is the enjoyer. Every time we reiterate that fact, it helps us to understand who we are. We are here as beggars to enjoy the remnants that are given by the Lord and by the Acharyas. And until and unless we understand that, bondage is bound to happen, because the senses will be dragged to sense gratification. In Krishna consciousness, there is a lot of chance for sense gratification. But mercifully, the Acharyas allow you to do sense gratification, but under control, when it is endorsed by Krishna. If one wants to eat, there are amazing lavish feasts. When one wants to sing, there are different rag raginis one can sing in kirtan. All the facility is given. When one wants to dance, we have all the styles of dance available, and the floor is set with ample buoyancy for dancing. So everything is set. But as Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instruction, what is sin? Deliberate disobedience of the laws of God. So although we know that what we are supposed to do, we are not able to do. And as Arjuna is saying in Gita, something which makes me do this. And what is that? Krishna reiterates, that is the kama. That is the mentality of enjoyer. Until unless you leave that mentality of enjoyer and understand that you are meant to be enjoyed, you will not be able to come out of this bondage. So understanding what the bondage means, what it bondage leads to, and next, not just knowing that, not just armchair philosophy of discussing who am I, what am I supposed to do, but doing it. Practical devotional service. Serving the senses. What is the best sense control? The senses are impetuous. they will revolt, they will rebel. But until and unless we involve these senses in serving the Rishikesh, the Rishi, the senses are going to rebel and drag us to sense gratification. But that senses, when fully used in the service of Rishikesh, that will lead to liberation. And what is liberation for devotees? Liberation for devotees is the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the abode where the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides with His eternal associates. It is not easy. Doing the same thing here, we'll be doing the same thing there. But the consciousness is different. Same activity here, serving the Lord, but the activity will continue, but the consciousness will raise. It's very, very, I again and again give the same example. I remember once when one of our senior sannyasis, he had come and was offering obeisances. His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami Maharaj. It was like I was very new to temple and I was chanting near Hanumanji. And when he came, he bowed down to Srila Prabhupada, and when he offered his obeisances, I felt there is something special in that offering. I felt, you know, although Srila Prabhupada's deity is there in the temple, but to actually feel that Srila Prabhupada is there and offer obeisances with full consciousness is what I always fail to do. It's always unconscious obeisances. You come, you offer, you chant the mantra, you get up, you bow down, because many people are looking at you. You bow down to Garudji, Hanumanji. It is very unconsciously done without any proper intention. But when I saw him doing that, I felt, you know, actually somebody is with heart offering that activity. So what do? If we don't have the intention, do we stop the activity? Acharyas recommend continue doing that activity. Continue doing that activity. At the same time, gather the knowledge how we are bound, how we are conditioned, and we have to come out of it. So that knowledge of conditioning, that knowledge of bondage will help us to engage our senses in Krishna's service. Once when devotee asked this question, maybe to writing to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, that, you know, I would, you know, many times I have an option between doing prasadam serving and hearing a lecture, or organizing things or hearing a lecture. What should I do? So Maharaj replied, and I'm just paraphrasing, that if you don't hear and fortify your knowledge that why you should serve, that you won't be able to serve long term. Because the senses want something new every time. You know, we keep hopping from one service to another because our DMU is reached, diminishing marginal utility. This is an economic term where when you do something and you get saturated and you want something new. So how long we will keep hopping? Until unless we understand that not the service per se, the particular activity, but the mood of service is important. Until unless it is instilled in our mind, we'll not be able to do service. Rather, that service will again become the cause of our bondage. Because we'll be egoistically attached to that service. Better than not doing the service, definitely. But if we read, if we hear, if we open our ears, if we come out of our closed ear syndrome, we will understand that what am I supposed to do as I serve? how better I can serve. What is the glory of serving? And what more better example that we have of an amazing combination of jnana and seva in the form of Shri Hanumanji. Today is his appearance day, Shri Hanuman Jayanti. On this today's auspicious day, Shri Hanumanji was born to Mother Anjana. Very different stories of Hanumanji, many versions, but we will take few. One version says that when Lord Shiva suddenly got startled up and was ecstatic to know that his Lord Ram is soon going to incarnate, he just started chanting Ram Ram, which is his favorite name. When you go to Babulnath, you'll see many of the devotees, they offer a Bail Patra to Lord Shiva, right? He's Bilva Patra. And on that Bilva Patra with Chandan, they write Ram Nam. You know, they actually draw Ram on that. The favorite name of Lord Ram, of Lord Shiva. And as Lord Shiva was ecstatic, Mother Sati asked, you know, what is it that you are ecstatic about? So he said, very soon my Lord is going to incarnate in the Ayodhya Dham and I have to become part of this beautiful Leela. So that time, Mother Sati said, I would like to also partake. I would also want to incarnate with you and help you to assist your Lord. But she said, but I want to ask one question. You are going to incarnate to help Ram, who will be the enemy of Ravana. And you have already given so many benedictions to Ravana. So how is it that you have given a facility to somebody and now you are going to act against him? So Lord Shiva says that out of the 11 Rudras, Ravana has pleased only 10 and he has rather angered the 11th Rudra. So that 11th Rudra will incarnate as Hanumanji and will help Lord Ram to destroy Ravana and his city. So after that, the union of Mother Sati and Lord Shiva, it leads into a very, very effulgent, you know, material, a mass. And that is carried by Lord Vayu, and he is not able to carry it, where he requests Saptarishis to please help him, who get him a metal leaf from Mandakini River. And he places that on that leaf and goes to the place where Anjana is performing tapasya to have a child. She and Keshari have tried best but not able to have a child. They resorted to tapasya. And as they are doing tapasya, suddenly she feels that she is being possessed. And when she wants to curse, at that time Vayudev comes and explains to her the whole story. And then she is happy to accept that fiery conception. And this is one story by which Lord Hanuman is born. The one more story is, and I forget, I'll just check. Yes. The another story is where when the whole payasam came out of the fire sacrifice, Putrakameshti Yajna, in Ayodhya, that payasam was taken by Garuda when all of them had already partaken and the remaining portion was to be honored by Sumitra Devi, Garuda comes and snatches that and flies away to again give it in the hands of Anjana Devi, who takes it, and as she swallows it, she feels that Lord Hanuman, a great personality is going to be born. And when Lord Hanuman was in the womb of Mother Anjana, the news came to Vali that the person who will be born through Anjana is going to be 1,000 times more powerful than you. And Vali, being very insecure that somebody being more powerful than me should not be possible, I will not let it happen. So he did a very mean thing. He prescribed Mother Anjana a liquid, a so-called liquid which will nourish her and make her child more strong. And that was a liquid where 5 metals were mixed. And metals are very, very dangerous to be taken. In fact, he wanted to abort the child. But the story goes that as she partook, you know, the king has given the, you know, medicine, so definitely must be good. So she had that, and Vali was waiting for the news that the child has been aborted. There is a miscarriage. But rather he gets the news that a child is born, effulgent child is born. And when he goes to see who the child is, or he sends his maid to check if the child is really there, the maid is astounded to see that a beautiful child is born, smiling and wearing beautiful kundals which are the alloy of these metals. Such is the power of Hanumanji. And then Hanumanji, being very naughty and very haughty in his childhood, he wanted to swallow, being hungry, the red fruit, Suryadev. And he actually swallowed. The whole material world went into a andhakar. And I was wondering what to do now. So that is the time when Indra went to charge on Hanuman. And when Hanuman just saw a white fruit, Airavata, he got so attracted that he took out the red fruit and ran behind the white fruit. And that is when Hanumanji was struck with the Vajra on his Hanu. That is why he is called Hanuman, his chin. And he fell unconscious without life airs. And that is why when Vayudev took back all the air in the world, because of which everybody was feeling suffocated. And being suffocated, they went to all the devatas and said, please help. And all the devatas went and said, okay. We'll revive him. And not only we'll revive him, we'll give him amazing powers. So now, already he was strong. And after receiving so much of power and so much of strength, he started becoming very, very naughty. Troubling the sages, going to their ashrams and doing all upside down. So there was a sage called as Trinibandha, and that sage cursed Hanumanji, saying that, you know, now because you know that you have so many powers, you are able to do it, I curse you that you will forget all your strength until somebody reminds you. And that was the pause on the expression or on the outward show of his prowess. Hanumanji, he also went to collect knowledge from the best of the teachers, Suryadev. And when Hanumanji reached to joined the University of Suryadev. He was late. The school was full. Already 1,000 sages were already, you know, they had boarded the beautiful Surya chariot. And Lord Surya, as he was going to move, he was going to instruct all the sages. But Hanumanji was determined. So all the students were struck that although we are sitting in the chariot, but we are not attentive. But there is somebody who is outside the chariot and who is not sitting, but rather flying and comfortably looking at, or not looking actually, he was going parallel. He was hearing every word and grasping the whole knowledge. But after some time, Hanumanji felt, you know, I am grossly violating the etiquette by flying and not looking at the teacher. So now he had the challenge of flying opposite, at the same time looking at Suryadev. So he managed to do that, and within 60 orbits of Suryadev, he learnt all the Vedic scriptures. After which, when the time for Guru Dakshina came, he asked Suryadev what he can do. So at that time, Suryadev says, please go and be a protector to my son, Sugriva. Hanumanji follows, and although being more powerful than many of the Vanaras, he went and offered protection to Sugriva. Sugriva was moving on the Rishyamukh hills. And as he went and joined, as he was walking, suddenly he saw that Sugriva was shivering. He was feeling, he could see fear in his eyes. And as he turned, he could hear a loud sound of a crackling something, you know, as if there is a big thud. And he turned back and he saw that Sugriva was on ground, withering with pain. So he said, what's up? You know, what is happening? Why did you suddenly fall down? What is the reason? And others, you know, many times expressions speak much more than words. So all the other Vandanas which were there with him, they were not looking surprised. You know, you suddenly find somebody falling and in pain, you wonder, you know, what happened? But they were not wondering, they were not amazed by it, as if they were expecting it. Sugriva got up and he said that, this is the gift I get from my brother 12 times in a day. When he flies for his Sandhya Vandan, he makes sure that he takes 4 jumps, you know, when he's going, he jumps 4 times and kicks me. Then the other Vandanas tell him how Lord Surya has told you to come and help Sugriva, but he has not told you the whole story, how Bali and Sugriv, Bali and Sugriv are arch enemies now, how Sugriva was ostracized and Vali wants to kill Sugriva, but because Vali was cursed that if he enters the Rishyamukh Parvata, his head will be broken to pieces, Sugriva is still alive. But still, Vali does not leave one opportunity to embarrass him. What he does? He jumps and lands on the head of Sugriva so badly and again pounces back without touching the mountain. So in a day, 12 times he jumps and crackles on the head of Sugriva. And suddenly, as they say, Sugriva can tell, you know, because the Sandhya is a fixed time. So he knew that now this will happen, and suddenly being fearful, he started shivering, and as Hanuman turned somewhere, suddenly one more thud. And as Hanuman looked up, he saw somebody flying, and he saw Vali was flying back. It was in such a brisk moment that nobody could see what happened. It was so quick and so powerful. next time, when Vali was just about to kick Sugriva, Sugriva was in full, you know, ready to get that kick, and as he expected that again my head is going to be crackled by the feet of my brother, suddenly he felt nothing has happened. And when he opened his eye, he saw that Hanumanji with one hand had held both the feet of Vali just above, you know, just few inches away from the head of Sugriva, and held it tighter and was making his grip more and more tight. When all the Vanaras started dumbfounded, saw that what is happening, and next thing what was happening, it really cheered them. Slowly and gradually, Hanumanji was dragging him down to the mountain, so that once his feet touches the mountain, his head will break open. But, you know, Vali was confused. Who is this person who has such power? Vali had a boon that if he just looks at his opponent, half of his power will come to him. Can you imagine? Just he could usurp the strength of the opponent and become more powerful. But that was not working on Hanumanji. He was seeing that he is pulling him down, and suddenly he saw those earrings, you know, which he had gifted to Hanumanji in the womb. And he understood that he is the same person who will be much more powerful than me. So he asks for forgiveness and says that henceforth I won't harass Sugriva. On that condition, Hanumanji lets him fly away. All the Vanaras were shouting, no, just bang him on the mountain and let his head crack open. But Hanumanji allowed. So many passings of Hanumanji. Today is also the appearance day of Srila Shyamananda Pandit. Shyamananda Pandit was born when he was born. Before that, many of his brothers and sisters had passed away. So that this child does not die, his parents named him Dukhi. You know, he was called as Dukhiya. But being a very effulgent and very nice son, as he grew up, he had natural taste for worshipping Krishna, for loving Krishna. So the father said, now that you have grown up, I think it'll be good if you get initiated into the Krishna mantra. So Shyamananda Pandit says, I would like to accept Hriday Chaitanya as my spiritual master. Hriday Chaitanya is the one in whose heart actually Lord Chaitanya went and hid. As his spiritual master, Gauridas Pandit came with a stick to punish them. So Dukhiya, he goes with all the Vaishnavas to Ambika Kalna, and there prostrates in front of Gauridas Pandit and begs for initiation. Hriday Chaitanya and begs for initiation. And Hriday Chaitanya initiates him and accepts him in his service. But looking at the beautiful devotional qualities of Shyamananda Pandit, Hriday Chaitanya wants to train Shyamananda Pandit more, and he names him as Krishnadas. So many start calling him as Dukhi Krishnadas. And as Dukhi Krishnadas enters, he first goes to Puri, then he goes to Mayapur, and then he goes and enters Mathura. Sorry. not this, not a mixing two stories. So Shyamananda Pandit, he enters Mathura and he goes to Jiva Goswami and tells him how his spiritual master has, you know, given him into his hands and wants him to be trained under him. There he gets trained under Jiva Goswami with Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya, the trio, the famous trio who started the Sankirtan party, distributing books, distributing the scriptures written by the Shad Goswamis. So Jiva Goswami, looking at the simple nature of Dukhi Krishna Das, he gives him a service of cleaning, of brooming in the groves of the Seva Kunja. Seva Kunja is a still place where the Radha Damodar Mandir is a center of Seva Kunja. Until date, in Seva Kunja if you go, a very serene place where in night, it is said not even the monkeys move around. Nobody is allowed to go there because it is a private place where Radha and Krishna perform their pastimes. So as Dukhi Krishna is brooming, he finds a very beautiful Nupur, a pile. And he's wondering whose it is. So he keeps it with himself and wonders that if somebody comes and asks me, I'll return. So when Radharani finds out that her pile is missing, she asks Vishakha Devi that please go and search for it. And then when Vishakha Devi comes there and asks Dukhi Krishna that, you know, have you seen for a pile? So looking at her effulgent form, Dukhi Krishna becomes startled up and he says, I do have the pile, but whose pile is it? He said, it is of our queen and she has lost it, so please give it. So he says, I would like to personally give it to her. So Vishakha Devi goes and asks Srimati Radharani that please, this boy has found out, if you want, you'll have to personally go and take it. So there, Dukhi Krishna is got in her audience and Dukhi Krishna gives the pile back to Srimati Radharani, who in turn takes the same Nupur and makes a beautiful tilak on his forehead and names him Shyamananda, one who has given Ananda to Radha and to Krishna. So with a new tilak and a new name, Srila Shyamananda Pandit, when his trance is broken, he goes to Jiva Goswami and says, Jiva Goswami becomes very, very happy to know that the student has reached such a level where he is getting such amazing realizations. So whole thing continues, he says, don't tell this to anybody else. But, you know, many times, 1 plus 1 is not 2, but 1 plus 1 is many. So slowly and steadily the news spreads. And Hriday Chaitanya comes to know that his disciple has taken a new tilak as well as a new name. So in a transcendental anger, Hriday Chaitanya sets off to go to Mathura and confronts Jiva Goswami. What is this? How could you do that? How could you give my disciple a new name and a new tilak? And he goes to the disciple and asks him and rebukes him and chastises him severely. The many versions to it. But essentially what happens is Srimati Radharani comes in the dream of Hriday Chaitanya and says that this tilak and this new name is given by me. You have anything to say? And he gets up and asks forgiveness from Srila Shyamananda Pandit. And since then, after he again sends him back for completing his training, after which, when Shyamananda Pandit comes back to serve Hriday Chaitanya, after a lot of service, because of the preaching of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas being halted, to give that mission back to Shyamananda Pandit, Hriday Chaitanya calls Shyamananda Pandit and tells him to preach, who extensively preaches in the Utkal area, the present Orissa, where going to a unknown village and starting a Namahatta program, a Krishna Katha program, Shyamananda Pandit, just by his sweet speech and his sweet personality, he gathers many disciples and followers and preaches the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of his prominent disciples are Rasika Murari, Sri Rasikanandaji. Today also is appearance, Purnima, the appearance of Srila Vamshivadan Thakur. Vamshivadan Thakur is said to be the incarnation of Murali, of flute, in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As Vamshivadan Thakur was born to Sri Madhava Das and Chitralekha, Chandralekha, when he was born, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in the house. He had come to meet. The house of Madhava Das was in Mayapur itself, in the area nearby the house of Jagannath Mishra. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after sannyas had come to meet Shachi Mata, he had stayed in the house of Madhava Das. So he gets mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as Vamshi, he grows up, he spends his time in serving Sri Vishnu Priya Devi. And one day, Sri Vishnu Priya Devi and Vamshi, they decide that they'll have to end their life by fasting because they're not able to bear the separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that now he has disappeared. So Lord Chaitanya comes in both their dreams and says, pursues them not to continue such fast and rather worship the deity which was given to Vishnu Priya, and which more fervent devotion they worship that deity, and till today that deity is worshipped. You know, after Vishnu Priya Devi's disappearance, Vamshivadan Thakur transferred that deity to Navadip Dham, that is across the Ganges, and over there he is known as Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu, a very beautiful, huge deity, till today worshipped by the descendants. So Vamshivadan Thakur's appearance is today, which, who was incarnation of flute in Krishna Leela. So on this beautiful occasion, and as the verse says, a beautiful combination of knowledge and practice will lead us and help us to serve the Lord unconditionally. Not only by helping ourselves, but by helping others. So on this day, we pray at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnava Acharyas and Shri Hanumanji that we get a fraction of dedication and determination to serve the Lord and the Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Hanuman Jayanti Mahamahotsav ki, Shri Shyamanand Thakur Avirbhav Divas ki, Shri Vamshivadan Thakur Avirbhav Divas ki, Jitaye Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.